Ever wonder how a simple question could unravel the secrets of a problem? Today, we're diving into the intriguing world of the five whys. Hey everyone, I'm Leah, feeling pretty excited to explore today's topic.
And I'm Garrett, ready and curious to dig into this fascinating method with you all.
Welcome to Laid Back Learning with Leah and Garrett.
All right, let's set the stage for this one. Today's topic is the five whys. Quick story from my workshop. I was gluing up a small side table and the joints kept failing. Super annoying. I asked myself why the joints were weak because the cuts weren't perfectly square. Why weren't they square? Because the miter saw fence was a bit off. Why was the fence off? Because I had adjusted it during a rushed project and never recalibrated. Why didn't I recalibrate? Because my maintenance checklist, which was just a scribbled sticky note, didn't include a line for fence alignment. Why didn't the checklist have that line? Because I copied it from a basic template without thinking about my specific tools. That little chain led me to redo my checklist and add a monthly calibration, and the joints have been rock solid since. That's pretty cool, right?
I love that. It starts with a wobbly joint and ends with a clearer process. And just to translate a couple of terms you slipped in there, calibration is simply making sure a tool is accurately set to what it claims, zero actually being zero, and a checklist is just a short written routine so you don't miss steps. Simple tools, big difference. Let's open the book on this. Five whys is an iterative questioning technique for getting to a root cause, the underlying reason a problem happens, where fixing that reason would prevent the issue from coming back. You ask why about the answer you just gave, step by step, until you reach something actionable and connected to the original problem.
Historically, it's tied to Sakichi Toyoda, an inventor from the family that founded Toyota. It became part of the Toyota production system, which is their approach to making things with minimal waste and smart quality controls. Taichi Ono, one of the architects behind that system, called five whys the basis of Toyota's scientific approach. In practice, they'd go to the Gemba, the actual place where work happens, and ask why right there where the facts live.
And a quick reality check. The number five is a guideline, not a rule. You might need three whys for a simple issue, or eight for something more tangled. What matters is that each answer is specific and backed by evidence, like data, observations, or a standard procedure. This technique shows up across lean manufacturing, which is streamlining work to cut waste, and Six Sigma, which is about reducing defects with data-driven methods. It's popular because it's easy to learn and it nudges you past quick fixes. Beginning our little time travel. In the 1200s, a poet named Friedenk wrote a didactic piece that laid out a five-link causal chain. It's considered an early seed of what later became the proverb for want of a nail. The structure shows how a tiny omission can cascade into big consequences.
Why is that scene as connected to five whys, though? It feels like a story running forward, not backward.
Great point. If you read it in reverse, you get the shape of five whys. You begin at the big failure and trace back step by step to the tiny cause. It's not the same method, but the skeleton of serial reasoning is there, showing people have long linked small causes to large effects.
Fast forward to 1671. Gottfried Wilhelm Leibniz, a German philosopher and mathematician, wrote a letter to Magnus von Wetterkopp. In it, he used a kind of iterative why to unpack moral and cognitive causes, like why someone lacked understanding and what led to that. He later used similar reasoning in his Theodicy, trying to reconcile the existence of evil with an all-powerful benevolent deity.
So even before factory floors, people were doing serial why reasoning in philosophy and literature. It's a reminder that the habit of peeling back layers isn't only about machines. It can be about beliefs, attention, and choices too.
And the big connection is the structure. Whether we're tracing a lost nail to a lost kingdom or a moral lapse back to missing understanding, the mental move is the same. Keep linking each because to the next why until the path makes sense. Now for the rise of the modern method. In the 1900s, Sakichi Toyoda developed what we now call five whys at Toyota. Interestingly, it wasn't born purely as a root cause tool. it was first used to understand why new product features or manufacturing techniques were needed, which later morphed into using the same logic for defect analysis.
Then Taichi Ono stepped in as a key champion. Ono, who shaped the Toyota production system, emphasized asking why repeatedly at the source of the problem. He taught it as foundational training. New team members learned to observe the work directly and test each why with facts, not guesses.
That training culture matters. If you build a norm that people investigate where the work happens, you cut down on armchair theories. You get cause and effect grounded in reality. It's like my shop example, but scaled to a factory line.
From there, 5Ys spread. It shows up in Kaizen, which is continuous improvement through small, steady changes, in lean manufacturing, which is all about cutting waste, in lean construction, and in Six Sigma programs that reduce variation and defects. It often acts as a starting point before teams apply heavier duty analysis tools.
A classic example in operations is when bolts get cross-threaded, meaning the threads don't align and get damaged. Ask why, and you might find an operator rushing. Why the rush? Maybe upstream parts arrived late. Why late? Perhaps a storage shelf wobbled and parts fell, causing a delay. Why wobbly? A missing maintenance step on the shelf. Why missing? No inspection standard. Suddenly, the fix is not only rethreading a hole, but adding an inspection routine and a clear owner for it.
And other companies adapted the spirit of the method. At Semco, a Brazilian company led by Ricardo Semler, they used 3 whys, but not just for troubleshooting. They applied it to goals and decisions, asking why a goal matters, why that path, why now, to clarify intent. Same shape of inquiry, different purpose.
To support the method, teams often use a fishbone diagram, also called an Ishikawa diagram. It's a visual that groups possible causes under categories like methods, machines, materials, and people, so you can explore multiple lines in parallel. Or they use a simple table to record each why, the answer, and the evidence. Both keep thinking organized and traceable.
Now the tension. Some critics say stopping at 5 whys is arbitrary. Complex systems don't politely reveal themselves in 5 steps. If you stop too early, you get symptoms, not causes. If you keep going aimlessly, you might drift into speculation. So the number isn't the measure, verification is.
Even inside Toyota's orbit, there's pushback. Teruyuki Minura, a senior Toyota leader, criticized 5Ys as too basic for deep root cause needs. His point was that at a certain level of complexity, you need heavier analytical tools to make sure you don't just patch over the real drivers.
In healthcare, Alan J. Card, a medical professor, went further and suggested abandoning 5Ys for root cause analysis. He argued that its depth is arbitrary and that it came from justifying changes, not proving causation. That origin, he says, sets it up to be too shallow when lives and safety are on the line.
Related critiques say a single linear chain can be misleading. Many problems have interacting causes. Two teams could analyze the same.
And documentation matters. A tabular format that pairs each why with evidence helps keep things honest. The last answer should point to something you can change, like a missing inspection or unclear responsibility, not just blame a person. If your countermeasure would break the causal chain next time, you're probably on the right track. Here's a question I've been turning over. Does stopping at the 5th, why reliably reveal the true root cause? Or is that just a catchy rule of thumb that can lead us astray if we treat it like gospel?
I'm team rule of thumb. 5 isn't magic. I think the right stopping point is when the cause is actionable, verifiable, and still clearly linked to the original problem. If you can test it and it would prevent recurrence, cool. If not, keep going or branch out.
I hear you. I still think the simplicity is a strength, especially for quick troubleshooting. On a busy shift, being able to ask a few disciplined questions and move from symptom to a process fix has real value. It lowers the barrier to investigating at all. Then, if the problem repeats or has big consequences, bring in a more formal method.
Why do you feel that starting light won't make people stop short too often?
Because you can pair quick whys with 2 safeguards. First, evidence checks, even simple ones, like going to see the actual place and looking at a standard. Second, breadth. Use a basic fishbone sketch to consider multiple categories, then choose a few lines to run 5Ys on. That way you don't funnel yourself into one convenient story.
I like that. It matches how problems really behave. Think of a defect caused by a slightly dull tool, a rushed operator, and a confusing work instruction. That's three interacting causes. A single linear chain might spotlight only one of them. Branching first, then deepening, keeps you honest.
Pop culture shout-out, that proverb. For want of a nail, the one that traces a lost nail to a lost kingdom, echoes the same serial logic. As we mentioned earlier, Freydank's verse from the 1200s captured that shape, a reminder that small oversights can scale up fast.
And this would make an awesome mini-series. Each episode could take a historical mishap and reverse engineer it with branching causes, then run a five whys on the most promising thread. Show the moments where a better standard or inspection would have changed the ending.
What if Toyota had originally paired 5Ys with mandatory branching using fishbone diagrams for every problem? I can picture a world where that combo became the standard root cause approach across industries. You'd have built-in safeguards against single cause bias from day one. Training would teach teams to lay out categories first, then run Ys down multiple ribs of the fishbone. Over time, that could make analyses more complete, more repeatable, and easier to audit. Countermeasures would target layered causes, like updating a maintenance plan, clarifying ownership, and improving training together, rather than a single fix in isolation.
I'm down for that. I imagine a more rigorous culture with standard templates for fishbones and whys and evidence fields you have to fill in. Maybe even digital checklists that nudge you to verify on the shop floor before you finalize a cause. New hires would learn not just to ask why, but to branch, verify, and converge on actions that break the whole chain. The only trade-off I see is a bit more time up front, but if it reduces repeat failures, that time pays for itself.
All right, that ties it up nicely. Stay curious and keep exploring what's beneath the surface of the problems you run into.
So there we have it. Ask why, check your facts, and don't be afraid to branch out. Catch you next time.